Welcome back to the Symptom Wisdom Show. My name is Sarah Kimberly, and in this episode, we're going to talk to the part of us that is Invisible Girl. How to finally let her feel safe and worthy. So, who is Invisible Girl? Recently, I asked the audience on my Instagram some of the fears their Invisible Girl has when it comes to taking up space and using her voice. And so I'll read out some of those now so we can see a bit of Invisible Girl's personality, belief systems, and her deep pain that she carries. So Invisible Girl has the fear of being laughed at or shamed. She lives in anticipation for what other people would like to hear and morphs herself. She has the fear of ridicule and rejection. She wants to run and hide in case something utterly terrible happens. Worries about not meeting other people's expectations, even though she might not have any idea what those expectations are. She is very afraid of rejection. It feels unbearable to her system. And she feels immense shame for everything she does and is. She's terrified of conflict and even a neutral face or reaction in another person can make her want to hide. She struggles to feel worthy or that she has anything to offer. And she's very scared of making people upset if she were to take up space. So she freezes. She has a hard time seeing herself. She struggles to believe that she deserves people's attention and care. She feels so much dread to use her voice. She's terrified of being told that she's too much, so she resigns to being less. She's scared about what other people will think and being judged. She has a fear that if she does really reclaim her true self, she won't be able to stay in some of the dynamics that rely on her being the Invisible Girl. She gets embarrassed. She tries to make herself small. She doesn't believe she's good enough. She gets ignored. She criticizes herself, especially after taking up space or using her voice. And in this sense of Invisible Girl hiding, there's a lot of shame about that. The hiding as a form of procrastination and avoidance, and it's so shamed. But I'm here to definitely clear that shame. The hiding, avoiding, and being invisible is a strategy to ensure safety. Somewhere, Invisible Girl learned that it's safer this way. Her core need is for safety. And while she does have the core needs to be seen and soothed and supported, she has learned that the best way she can get those met is actually to turn herself invisible. So while someone like Sick Girl is really saying, please don't reject me, please see me, please love me, I need you, I'm sick, Invisible Girl is saying, please don't reject me, but just in case you do reject me, I'll reject myself first. You probably will reject me, I'm safer to assume my inadequacy. And all of those points that I read out before from our community, fears and the fears of receiving all of that criticism, all of that judgment, all of that shame. The thing for Invisible Girl is that's her worldview, that's where she lives. So she already lives in criticism, judgment, shame. She's terrified of having more of it. And that is where she lives. She lives in the relationship with you in those fears. We'll get to that more when we talk about reparenting her. So Invisible Girl is different to the Victim Girl, one of our other eight shadow girls, because Victim Girl, she definitely isn't afraid to t she kind of tells her story. They were the perpetrator. I am the victim. I need love. I need to be accepted. I need to be seen. Victim Girl is much more out there. And while Victim Girl and Good Girl and Sick Girl are afraid of not being good enough, there is a sense to Invisible Girl where she has already resigned to the fact that she's not good enough. But it isn't a fact. It's an adopted belief. And she's definitely scared of someone like Outrage Girl. She takes one look at Outrage Girl and thinks, I mean, that's what happens if you're too much. Because she sees how people react and respond to Outrage Girl, and they see her as too much. They don't want to be on the receiving end of someone else's outrage. It's very frightening. They feel so overly responsible for that. And if they have some outrage within themselves, they don't want to make someone upset with that. They don't want to burden someone else with their anger or their grief. So they keep that to themselves. So while Outraged Girl is very expressive and will tell you what has pissed her off, Invisible Girl will deny, reject, shrug, and really struggle to really give a voice to her feelings. So there's some neural pathways that Invisible Girl was imprinted with somewhere along your life, somewhere in childhood, somewhere in your upbringing, somewhere at school or at home. She adopted some of these pathways that turn into beliefs, that turn into behaviors and patterns, that turn into strategies and choices, and which subconsciously turn into physical form in our body, in our relationships, in our finances, in our life. So let's start with the root of a healthy, fully integrated, fully embodied upbringing would teach us, I am here, I take up space, and this is safe for me to do. I'm here, I'm allowed to be here, I'm allowed to take up space. I am bright, I am beautiful, I am shiny, right? Imagining the little girl prior to sort of having her light dimmed, that she turns into the shadow of Invisible Girl. Invisible Girl is standing in the shadows. So just imagine before that happened, before that process happened, who was Invisible Girl? And she was learning these crucial neural pathways, and somewhere she got, it's wrong for me to be here, it's prohibited to take up space, and it's dangerous. So we don't necessarily have to like pick out the memory or like find the trauma. But if a memory does come up, that's one we get to really feel into and process. That's the kind of work we do inside Embodied Symptom Wisdom. What about I have desires, I'm allowed to desire, I'm allowed to want, I'm allowed to receive, and I'm expressive, I'm creative. Well, Invisible Girl learned that doing those things will lead to ridicule, and I'm absolutely not allowed to have desires. Those desires will be shamed. They'll be laughed at. If I have great ideas, creative projects, they'll be rejected. I'll probably be told how dumb that idea is. So I turn off my expression. Imagining the little girl learning, I deserve people's attention and care. Of course I do. Of course I deserve people's attention and care. I'm here. I'm me. I'm special. Well, no, for Invisible Girl, she learned that people's attention and care will be denied. Her needs are inconvenient. She doesn't deserve. Ultimately, she got the message that she's inadequate. So while Good Girl picked up the strategy, that same wounding, that same little girl, she learned, but if I'm good enough, I seem to be adequate. And if I'm just enough good, just enough adequate, I get people's attention and care, right? Good Girl learned a strategy. Maybe Victim Girl learned the same wound and she learned, well, if I have all these terrible circumstances happen, one thing after another, like maybe accidents, victimizing situations, I then get people's attention and care. Maybe Sick Girl learned same inadequacy wound, but if I get sick, I get people's attention and care. Maybe Outrage Girl learned the more I express how upset I am, the more I get people's attention and care. If I have a complete meltdown, if I'm really dysregulated to a point where I can't hold myself at all, then someone else steps in. So we can see how Invisible Girl, same wound, but she learned to not create a strategy that gets her out there, that gets her the people's attention and care. She very much went in to the shell of herself, the shoulders rounding. We can imagine the kind of symptoms that could come up in the physical body of just like, I'm not, like, I cannot have people's attention. Please don't look at me. I won't make a fuss. I won't make a noise. I'm thinking about the restaurant brings you the wrong food. You won't say anything. You don't want to make a scene. Don't deserve anyone's attention. So we just turn it off. We don't even try anymore to get people's attention and care. Although in the invisibility, in the quote strategy of invisibility, there could be some lived experiences where being so invisible has got some kind of attention and care in a way that feels safe for Invisible Girl. Maybe it's someone saying, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? I would love to support you. And maybe some of you are scoffing and saying, that never happened. But maybe Invisible Girl within you is waiting for that. And that's what she's doing. Maybe. So let's talk about Invisible Girl has this underdeveloped solar plexus fire within her. For the yogis here, you'll know that's the third chakra in the belly, related to the backbone. It is your sense of confidence, your self-belief, your conviction in yourself, in your choices, in what you know to be true, your enoughness, the way you act on things that you are convicted about, your follow through, your sense of purpose, your leadership, and your ability to go towards confrontation and handle confrontation because you have this very strong backbone. So Invisible Girl clearly has this underdeveloped. Anytime she tried to be confident or convicted or move towards some kind of purpose, she got it shut down over and over and over. We can think about where that shows up in certain dynamics, in work, in relationships, in illness, and how it's like anytime she attempts to fire up that belly, anytime she attempts to have a backbone, stand up for herself, or say, no, I'm 100% sure about this. She, what's underdeveloped for her is the, what's on the other side of that? Someone telling her no, someone telling her you're wrong, someone telling her you're dumb, someone telling her you, like, why do you believe in yourself? Like, all of these imprints. She never then learned how to say, wait, hold on, this is about, that's about you. Right, so she never got past having her fire shut down. That's why Invisible Girl often has chronic fatigue. Anything that's just a lack of, such a lack of fire, it's such a lack of enthusiasm because she just hasn't had that nurtured. That gets to be nurtured in a child and a teenager who's growing up. And maybe for Invisible Girl, she got told about how incapable she is. And maybe she got told how wrong she is about everything. She became very disconnected from her body. She probably wasn't initiated into her womanhood. And anytime she had a gut feeling, she was very likely dismissed. And so, what's also underdeveloped for the Invisible Girl is she's been cut off from her throat and her voice, her throat chakra. This is very important. Her voice at some point was a threat to the status quo. I'll say that again. Her voice was a threat, or and is a threat to the status quo. What does that mean? That means that the people around her shut her voice down because the wisdom and truth of her voice would not work with the dynamic that was in their best interest. Her needs and her calling out certain things or her desires for certain things weren't going to work in those dynamics. So rather than the other people growing, learning, changing, and allowing her voice to come through, validating her voice, hearing the truth in her voice, letting the status quo evolve, it was easier for everybody if we just shut down her voice. And we can see that out there in the world, can't we? With these restrictions and censorship, and yeah, it's madness. So Invisible Girl learned to shut down her emotions, her grief, her anger, her pleasure, her desires, her goals. They were heavily restricted. And another flip side of this, aside from the complete neglect and restriction. An alternative situation for the invisible girl could be an upbringing that was incredibly suffocating. So suffocating where there was so much love, but I say that, like it's not the truth of love because love is not suffocating. It's just a different form of toxic love. Instead of being completely neglected, she's completely suffocated, and she got the message like don't do anything, like let me do it, like I don't want you to do it, I'll do it for you. Maybe because she's special, or maybe because she's incapable. It's the same thing. And so what we can see in adults who were suffocated by really well-meaning and loving parents, or suffocated in the sense of like not being allowed to explore her full range and never really allowed to like explore herself and her edges and her freedom, right? She wasn't allowed to explore her freedom. That now, this hiding, avoiding, invisible strategy was what saved her back then. That's what saved her back then. That's why I'm really a voice and an advocate for in attachment theory. There's often talk about the avoidant person being a narcissist, and it simply isn't true. Some people, sure, but to blanket statement that, it's absolutely not true. What tends to happen is that somebody who wants to avoid conflict, avoid big long talks, avoid emotions, avoid taking responsibility, avoid intimacy, avoid vulnerability, that's the strategy from childhood. It kept them safe doing all those things. And as an adult, we repeat that because we want familiarity, we want safety. And so, really, I've spent all this time validating the invisible girl. I've spent all this last 22 minutes talking about these parts of her because they so make sense. They so make sense, and there's nothing shameful about it at all. And we're also not pointing our finger, blaming parents, blaming caregivers. We're just pointing out the things we couldn't point out when we were younger, right? And we're just calling a thing, like the elephant in the room, and just being like, oh, okay, that's why I've developed these beliefs. I've adopted them from other people. The truth isn't that it's wrong for me to be here, or it's prohibited to take up space. That's something I learned. Oh, it's not true that my desires are shameful or my expression will forever be rejected. That's just my lived experience. That's just what I've learned. And now I operate my life around very early programming. When we can reveal that, we can move on to reconnecting to her, reparenting her, freeing her from these old adopted beliefs, and beginning to realign life outside of the prison of the chronic cocooning, hiding phase. So let's spend the next bit of the podcast talking about how to actually. Like, what's next, right? What's next? So, the first question I have for you to reflect on is, how am I currently parenting this part of myself? Okay, so there's the you who is not the invisible girl. You are not the invisible girl. She's just an unintegrated part in the psyche. She's a part of the inner child. But she's not you. So there is also you. And how are you currently parenting her? Meaning, how do you talk to her? What do you allow her to do and not do? Do you judge her? Do you shame her? And let's not shame ourselves for shaming her if we notice, oh yeah, there is a part of me that shames her. That also might not be you. That might be the part of you who lives in Outrage Girl. Maybe she shames Invisible Girl. Okay, so tune in to how you parent her, how you think about her, how you love her or not, how you care for her. Do you treat her like this beautiful, shining, special little girl? Do you nurture her gifts and talents and voice? Or probably, do you parent her in the same way you were parented? Just something to notice. Next question is, how does she feel around me? How does she feel around me? Does she feel safe to be herself? Are you able to speak freely in the mirror, dance and move your body when no one's watching, be goofy, silly, weird, like all flavors of yourself, desirous, sexual, feral, creative, opinionated? Are you able to do all those things with yourself, but just not out there? Or is it also cringe even alone with yourself? I remember for me, I could not even touch my own body. There was no self-pleasure practice. No way. There was an awkwardness in my movement. I would check everything. I would like close the curtains. And even then, I'm completely alone. I'm alone, alone, alone. And still, I felt awkward and uncomfortable, even with myself. So that was the part of Invisible Girl feeling so unsafe. Next question is, what does she need to feel safe? And this question, I'm talking about her core needs, what every little girl needs, what every human needs to feel safe. She needs to feel like she's valid. She needs to feel like she belongs. She needs to feel that you will support her, that she's supported. She needs to feel of value, like, and thanked, appreciated, right? Start to mentally or note down, what does this little unintegrated part need to feel safe? Because here's the thing, just trying to force her to go outside, force her to take up space in the world, probably has us flare up in symptoms. I remember I would force myself to get up and go to the supermarket, or force myself to record something back in the very, very old days when I was not a practitioner or a teacher. And I remember like a 10 minute of whatever that space taking was, or let's say an hour maximum, there'd be a week of being bedbound after that, because I wasn't bringing myself into space taking from a place of safety. I was just like overriding my nervous system with just do it. And then what came after, it was like, okay, I'll do it, and then complete freeze. And like, it's a trauma response, right? To go outside for an hour and then be bedridden for a week is definitely a trauma response, and not to the activity itself. Not because I went for a walk, or because I went grocery shopping, or because I spoke up in something, but because of the way I forced myself to go do that. So when we're handling Invisible Girl, or any of the girls that are in freeze as a nervous system response, it's very delicate. And I know there could be some impatience, because it's like, yeah, but I've been an Invisible Girl for years. But we get to be trauma-informed with this. as if we really had this 6-year-old or 3-year-old or 10-year-old in front of us who was frozen and scared. I'm gonna speak for us all. I can't imagine that we would tell her to hurry up, get over it, shut up, just do it, stop complaining. I feel that within us, our superpower is to be so highly empathetic, to be so caring, to be so nurturing. That's why the alchemized, embodied, invisible girl is the mother, because she doesn't know how to mother herself, but that's the whole point, to learn how. Because she's a fantastic mother for others. Next question. What does she need to integrate into wholeness? And so, with this need, I'm not talking so much about those core needs that are her absolute birthright that were rejected. I'm talking about probably Invisible Girl has this list of things, right? Like, well, I need to never be rejected. That would be great. Then I can integrate and I don't need to be invisible anymore. I need to not have to deal with confrontation. I need to be accepted and understood all the time, right? So that's not what I mean. Because those aren't needs, those are kind of fairy tales, right? So what we can do is we could start answering this question with those kind of things. You need to listen to me. They need to accept me as I am. At work, they need to actually listen to what I'm saying, right? So we can start to have the fairy tale, go into the fairy tale, list all the things that if everybody else just changed, then I don't have to be invisible. And then once you've got your list, I want you to change every time you said you, him, her, or they, or a system, or anything else, and change it, reframe it so it's about I or myself. So I need to listen to myself. I need to believe myself. I need to love and approve and celebrate myself. Because there is the mirroring effect. I'm certainly not just a nervous system, body, mind, body, like. Practitioner, I'm certainly a spiritual girly, and I absolutely believe in this mirroring universe, in laws of attraction and energy that we cannot fathom, and how if I reject myself, if I mute and silence myself, it's no wonder that I would then find a partner or a dynamic out there or a boss or whatever it is that mirrors that back, where that also perpetuates my invisibility. So reframing those to I or myself, me. Okay, this is a big one. What fear does she get to face and process? What fear? And there's probably these big, like, confusing fears, like the fear of rejection, the fear of abandonment. Note down which one feels most alive for you, for your invisible girl. And it is true that she gets to face and process that. Because we're not going to integrate her and feel safe being ourselves if we haven't dealt yet with the fact that Rejection and abandonment, in the sense that we know it, can happen. People can decide they don't like us. That can happen. They can unfollow. They can say, I don't want to be your friend anymore. I don't want to be your partner anymore. They can say, oh, you've really changed. You used to be this really quiet, appeasing, fawning, invisible girl, and now you're this embodied woman who's got like this strong backbone and stands up for herself, and that's threatening to me, and I don't like it, and I want you to go back to how you were, so I'm going to reject you. Like, that, can we face that? Can we process that? And what I mean is, again, it's not just going and doing it and overriding and then suddenly having all this rejection or whatever our worst fear is and being like, oh shit, it's actually happening in real life. I mean, we get to create a practice, a safe practice at home on our mat. I guide these inside embodied symptom wisdom, where we get the felt experience of facing and processing it so that it's no longer a fear of, I'm invisible because I'm afraid of rejection. Okay, so let's face the fear of rejection. And now I don't need to be invisible because I'm afraid of it. I've already faced it. And so, in our initiation into womanhood, which is integrating these girls, these shadow girls, into their archetype, whether that's the mother, whether that's the warrior, whether that's the healer, whether that's the queen or the mother or the healer, she has faced this shit. Like, she's faced it. She's died a great many of deaths. She has died metaphysically over and over. She has cracked open. She has passed through the fear. The fear has alchemized into, oh my God, I did it. I survived it. I'm no longer living in fear of that happening because it's already happened, quote, in my physical body, in through my nervous system, and I survived it. Because at the moment she won't face it. She's got a lot of resistance, so she stays invisible. And so she doesn't know the relief or her own, like, she hasn't yet cultivated that sense of, oh, I can do it. I did it. Like, I've got myself. I can handle these huge emotions, this pain, this trauma. I can actually go in and out. I don't get stuck. I can move beyond fear. Like, she just lives in resistance to the fear. So it is incredibly brave work to decide, you know what, I'm going to process some of this stuff. I'll start with the resistance. Then I'm going to process the fear or the anger or the grief. And we're not taught how to do that, you know? And it's not, it doesn't have to be so confusing or out of your reach. I pride myself, or like for me, it's really important that I bring this through and try to make it more and more commonplace that we're like, oh yeah, wow, I really need to process that. I'm gonna go do that. So that maybe it starts off with you coming to me as a guide, but then you got it. You got it. You can guide yourself. You can process yourself. You can integrate with yourself. And also, we're always going to need support here and there. There's always me and my partner, we're both practitioners. We both work with other practitioners. There are so many layers and parts and emotions. And oftentimes, we really do just need someone to hold the space for us or to guide and to help us when, I mean, look, when my father died, and it was approaching a year later, and I was noticing I just wanted to shut down and live an invisible girl. I was like, I know how to process anger. I know how to process grief. I know how to hold myself, but I didn't wanna. And it felt too much. It felt too immense of an undertaking. So I hired a practitioner. I worked through some rage. I thought that I just couldn't. I thought it was beyond me. I thought I would erupt and explode and die. And like these are all of Invisible Girl's worst fears, right? Like I just thought it was safer to just stuff it down, even though I'm a teacher on this work. And so I just share all of that to say it's okay that we have shit to face that we don't want to face. It is fucking hard to face ourselves sometimes. But I really try to make the life work we do together like approachable. Like the hardest part is just turning on the Zoom, turning on your laptop, and coming on time. Once that's done, like hand it over to me because I'll take care of you. And I love it when a practitioner does that for me. I love doing that for others. So if at any moment you're like, I don't know how to face all of this stuff, that's okay. That's okay. That's totally understandable. You weren't taught how. And you get to be supported. Let's go back to that. I don't deserve people's attention or care. Fuck that. Fuck that. Fuck that. Write down now. Fuck that. And write it big. Write it on your mirror. Write it somewhere where you'll see it. Make it your laptop background or your phone background. You absolutely deserve people's attention and care. And that can absolutely start to come from a guide or a teacher that helps you embody that more and more and more and more. Okay, lastly, what is on the other side of this cocooning, of this isolation, of this healing, chronic healing? What's on the other side? Because many of my, all of any woman I've ever worked with that's healing chronic fatigue or Invisible Girl related symptoms, they all have this dread of, but if I heal and I'm out there, I have to do XYZ. So you can start with that. Write down every single have to, every single should do, every single if this, then that. Because those are the very things that are keeping the strategy of being invisible alive and working for you. It's protecting you. But the thing is, you don't have to do all of that shit. It's all programming. So if you've got, I would have to go back to a job that I hate. No, you don't. I would have to, like, I would have to go to every single social event I'm invited to. No, you don't. I would have to be sort of seen in a way that's like not my true self, because there is a true part of me that wants to stay in my pajamas all day, and that's like a part of me, and I wouldn't be able to do that anymore. That's not true. That's not true. You can absolutely be pajama girl. And you don't have to do that out of fear. You can just do that because you love it. And you can invite your best friend around while you're in pajamas. You can go out while you're looking however you're looking, because you've embodied this part of you that's so terrified of what other people are going to say. No, if you're no longer terrified of what other people are going to say, what's on the other side of your isolation and your invisibleness and your healing is acceptance. So when I ask you this question, what's on the other side? Don't start straight away with all the positives. Start with the dreads and oh God, because that's going to teach you a lot about why you've developed this strategy. Okay. Lastly, I did say lastly before, I'm very aware of that, but I have a lastly, last now. Invisible Girl isn't, this isn't her true identity. Invisibleness is an identity she is wearing like a mask, like a bodysuit, like a drink that she takes that every day, like a medication that makes her invisible. Who is she actually? Who is hiding inside Invisible Girl? So we always talk about Invisible Girl is doing the hiding. What about who is hiding inside of Invisible Girl? This colorful, bright, expressive, feral, wild, beautiful, opinionated, matchy, intelligent, firecracker, funny, weird, shy, cute, sexual, and anything else, any human aspect. Who is she? Who is she? Because all of those things, and the key thing, the main thing, the most rejected thing is, and this is very, very, very important, it is the medicine that the world needs. It is not only the medicine for Invisible Girl, it is not only the medicine for the symptoms that she's presenting in, it is not only the medicine for you and your life, it is the medicine that the world needs. And there is no rush because everything is divinely organized, but you are being initiated into the medicine that the world needs. Like you are a teacher. It might not look like me, it might not look like a sixth grade math teacher, but you are a channel. You are an embodiment. You are a book of wisdom, more than a book, a human, a whole human full of wisdom, lifetimes of wisdom. And you're being initiated, the soul in you, right? We're going to go out there now. We're going to go full woo. The soul in you who chose your body, who chose your parents, who chose you as the vehicle, who chose your body, who chose your set of life circumstances, has a purpose, a dharma, and it's not to be invisible, it's to unleash the medicine that the world needs. And she's learning through the initiation of sickness, of being invisible, of being shut down, who the fuck she is. And because if she was never shut down in the first place, she might have a different message for the world. She might have a different medicine for the world. You have yours. It's very, very, very specific medicine that the world needs, because this illusion that you are inadequate, that you are invisible, that you are unwanted, that you are not good enough, that you're too much, that you are, who would care anyway, kind of opinion that you have about yourself. It's so bullshit. It's so much bullshit that it upsets me. Like it brings actual tears, and I get kind of agitated about it too, because I want to shake you. I want to shake you and love you and say, the child within you and the you that you are today, and just say, you are medicine. You are fucking everything. You are exactly what the world needs. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you can take up space. I'm so glad even that you're going through the initiation of Invisible Girl, because wow, you are learning a lot, and you are going to have a lot to share with the world. Even if you don't become like a preacher on how to stop being invisible, I'm not saying that that's your purpose, but what I am saying is, there's always going to be people and governing bodies that shut down people's voices that are a threat to the status quo. And I believe that you are here to be a threat to the status quo. Yes, you are a threat to the status quo. I'm a threat to the status quo. We are a threat to the status quo, because we are all born healers. We are. The fact that you have some kind of symptom right now tells me that you are a healer. It's already the proof. There's nothing else I need to know that you are a healer, that you have medicine for the world. And so that is what I'm leaving you with. That's my pep talk for you. Now, come on now, and let's put some kind of action. Let's do some kind of embodiment. What can we do actively to repair and Invisible Girl? Where can we put her where she can be seen in a safe place? How can we learn to nurture her, to love her, to let her open up like a flower? Let her go through her own puberty, like celebrate the blossoming and the space taking and the voice owning. An easy one, straight up, come and join my workshop. We're going to be doing all of this. And I promise you, it's my absolute intention that it's going to be a very, very safe space where you'll be met, healed, supported, validated. We'll only go as fast as the slowest, slowest, slowest part of you wants to go. And you'll have access to the recordings as you continue on in your journey. So that is it for now. Thank you so much for spending 50 whole minutes with me. I'm honored. Review this podcast, please. That's really, really helpful. Take a screenshot, post it on your story, send me a DM. Anything like that for the invisible girl. Let's make her visible to any degree. To any degree, it's already enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you for using your voice. Thank you for using your ears. Thank you for being even somewhat willing to love and approve of yourself. That's already enough. That's already enough. The healing will take care of itself. That's already enough. Goodbye.